Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, fueled by LGB supplements, and our grass gets cut by the legends at Endeavour Property Services. I am one half of the podcast, Mr. A-Rock Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week down here at the Yacht Club by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, and all-round good bloke, Sam Shenazzi. How are you, mate?
Hey, Newman. I'm also happy to be one half of the podcast. I've got a fancy microphone stand that no one else can see but you. I feel really privileged to be here talking to all of our great listeners and sometimes viewers. Get in touch with the sharkcastpod at gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of social media stuff. Newman, what a week to be a Shark. There's a lot to talk about.
No game this week, so it's time to get with the bracken and move with the moss and speak the language of the forest as we draw breath halfway through the rollercoaster ride that is season 2018 and have somewhat of a mid-year review and run our ruler and our sharp monocled eye over the form of the mighty Cronulla Sharks in the first half of this season 2018. And Samuel, a bit of movement on the NRL ladder. We currently sit in sixth position on the NRL ladder on 22 points, which is a mere 4 points behind top spot, 2 points out of the top four. We have a points differential of plus 30, and our nearest rival, the Brisbane Broncos, have a points differential of minus six, and above us, the Sydney Roosters, are on plus 95. Mm. Now, I think it's a fair representation of the season sixth position. What about you?
I agree, Newman. We've lost many games by a little bit and won many games by a little bit. That's where we're at this year. That's how we're going to win the comp, is we're going to do it by 2 points. And I think you're right, given the injuries we've had, Dugan's barely played. We knew that coming in, but still it's a reality. They've had a number of different people in and out all year. So I think it's a fair representation of where we are, but I have a lot of hope for the next part of the season.
Now, to drill down a little bit further, we've played 16 games, won 10, lost 6, and we've also had one bye. So that's what gets us on to 22 points. But the interesting thing is Souths and St. George, who make up the top two of the ladder, have only won 12 games. They've won two more games than us. Okay. So we're right amongst it. And to compare, right, for example, the ninth place team, which is the Canberra Raiders, have won seven. So they're 3 wins behind behind the top eight. Now, it's also worth pointing out that the lowest team in the eighth, the New Zealand Warriors, have also won 10 games. So the eight is made up of teams that have won between 10 and 12 games, and we're one of those.
I'm one of those people that thinks the top eight is done. The Warriors, they're looking pretty shaky, but I don't believe the Raiders can win so many in a row to make it. And I think the eight we have now is what we're going to have at the end of the year. We're going to be a part of it. We're very thankful for that. It's going to be a great one. Newman, I'm very interested in some of the stats, as you know. We're ranked top five for the fewest points conceded and for tries conceded. And we're missing the equal fewest tackles and the equal fewest line breaks. So we're the best at conceding line breaks as well with the Roosters, both those stats. So our defense somehow this year is
good.
It's getting better every week.
It's good, and we've spoken about it briefly on Sharkcast Radio, but the stats are all headed in the right direction.
They are, and things like penalties and errors are also got us around mid-table for both of those respective rankings. So there has been improvement. Sometimes the errors come at really bad times, and we tend to dwell on them, which is fair enough. But as far as the numbers of stats and penalties, we're looking a lot better as the year goes on.
We're also playing a very Shark style of football. I mean, the way you can summarize our game is we're tough, we're gritty, we're uncompromising. We're going to back ourselves against any team in the comp to win. Doesn't matter who they are or what sort of game they play. We get the feeling that we could win every week, but we're never going to be the sort of team that's putting on 40 and 50 points regularly and or conceding a huge number of points. We tend to score 3 to 4 tries and defend that and hold the other team to one or two scores. And often the other team will only score maybe even once. So that's the style of play that we have. We have a very, our main nine is very unflashy. He's unflashy, even a word. He's very standard, steady type player. Our main seven, he's not flashy. All the flashiness comes from Matty Moisa, really.
Yeah, Matty Moylan is going great. He's second, I believe, in try assists in the NRL. Obviously, our best try assister as well. Big game coming up this week against the Panthers at Penrith Park, which we'll get into later on. Moyes is slowly improving and a very important key to the puzzle. I'm just looking at some of these stats for all the players, Newman, individually. Would you have thought Edric Lee would have played 12 games for us?
Not a chance in hell.
And he's done it very well.
Particularly when you've got Sosia Fekke, Sione Katoa, Valentine Holmes, Aaron Gray, those sorts of players on the books, I would have said no way.
So Aaron Gray played one game only, is that correct?
Yeah, and yeah. He put in an absolute stinker.
He did. He might get another shot next year, maybe when we're missing a few players. We might get into that later on as well. Luke Lewis, 8 games. It's been a big loss for us, as well as Josh Dugan, who's played 8 games as well. Two international players there. Things like that, they've hurt us, but somehow we're still competitive. There's guys not so much playing better than what they would, but they're doing their job in replacing them.
Well, there's depth in the squad, and we know we can pretty much rely on anybody to come into the team. And that was outlined by a period there this year where we were calling on the likes of Jack Williams for his debut. Dane Sorensen, Braden Nwelly got a run.
Dane's relative.
Oh, sorry, I always say Scotty. Scotty Sorensen. Kurt Dillon had a bit of a run in first grade, and those were guys we didn't think that we'd see so early in the year, but they've all had a go and did a job for us.
And then we had Aaron Woods play one game last week for us and many more to come. So it's been a really weird year in a lot of ways, Newman. Me personally, as a fan, as a punter, as a Sharks fan, I feel like the season is just starting. I feel like it's almost been one big trial match for half the year. And now we're coming into the business end. We're in a pretty good position. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just been that kind of weird year.
Yeah, and I think if we were to talk candidly to Shane Flanagan, he'd probably say that, you know, he's trying to get the team, you know, the early part of the year is just about getting the right number of wins on the board, and then you really start to tune it up towards the semis. And he would, in an unguarded moment, I think Shane Flanagan would say that.
In an unguarded moment.
Going tickets today, Sam.
Are you going?
The church at Anita's Theatre through all.
Anita's Theatre. That's yes. A great theatre.
Yes, got my tickets today.
Excellent.
In an unguarded moment, he would say that he's tuning the team up for a tilt at the semis. And the semis is a new competition. Mm. And I think everybody thinks that we can win that new mini competition. We just got to start putting some form on the board and get rid of a few of those bad habits which are in our game, which probably have meant that we're that 2 to 3 wins behind the really upper tier teams.
Yeah, and I think it's important now to get a few in a row, which we have been doing in recent times. Those 6 games in a row really saved our season. We weren't sure where 100%. We were going.
We were on the precipice there for a while.
Yeah, we were. And now's the time to string some more together. We want to finish top four. We don't really care where it is in the top four. Realistically, we probably won't be top two. So we're going for 3 or 4, though you never know what's going to happen. We do play a couple of other teams above us, which is going to be interesting, and one below us. We play the Broncos again. That's a very important game for both teams.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, every game against someone in the top eight, it becomes a real, you know, when it comes to the Panthers game this weekend,
yeah.
If we beat them, I mean, we could potentially, we'll at least equal them.
Yeah.
We won't jump them, but we're on the same number of points. So depending on other results, yeah.
And we just want to keep winning because teams like the Roosters, you think they're going to improve, but they're also going to lose some games. So if we can jag one and they lose one and we start rising above them, I think there'll be a bit of a belief in the team as well, which is, you know, what you want at this time of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are we giving the team as a scorecard for this first part of the season?
Oh, boy. You go first.
Well, I don't really... when you said you wanted to do a mid-year review...
Uh-oh. You've come here for the free garlic bread, haven't you?
I know. I've come here for the free garlic bread. Like, I don't think it's a mid-year review. And
hey, Penrith's doing a mid-year review.
Yeah, you do a mid-year review and you look at how you're going. But, I mean, as long as you're improving, right?
Yeah.
So I give us a B.
A B?
Yeah. Solid B. But without knowing where Shane Flanagan wants us to be, I mean, he said we probably need to be on two extra wins. But you look at the injury toll that we've had.
Oh, there's some wins there that we should have had.
Yeah, I mean, there was one where we got a couple of dud refs decisions, and then there was one we got back with the refs decisions. I'm giving us a B based on everything.
I'd go a different format and say 7.5.
Well, that's a B.
That's a B. There's improvement there, which is great, and there's improvement to come, which is going to be even greater. Guys like Matt Pryor, who was given a rep jumper for the first time, to guys who we discussed like Edric Lee, it seems like this year the underachievers are really rising and they're lifting their games. You got your Gallons, you got your Lewis's, you got your superstars, your Vowels, whatever. But everyone's doing their job or starting to, and that's what happened in 2016.
But it's a sign of a good football organization, Samuel.
Mm.
You know, good foundations, a good structure where somebody can just come along and slot in, and there's no impetus on them to be a superstar. There's no impetus on them to do things on their own, but they just slot into the system, and as long as they do their job, they'll look good because, you know, the team is performing around them. And you saw that with, you know, the likes of Scott Sorensen. When he came into grade, he was just doing his job, and all of a sudden then he's bursting into the backfield and scoring tries.
It's a good try.
So, I mean, we've got a good system there, and Shane Flanagan has set up a really... And it's not just Shane Flanagan. It's the likes of Paul Gallen, Luke Lewis, and also, to an extent, James Maloney, guys who've been around the traps, who've set the team up to play a certain way,
yeah.
And you can just drop people in.
There's so much depth at the moment, Newman, with the addition of Woods. Guys like Big Arva, who has played 13 of the 16 games... A guy like Ueli, who, as the year has gone on in lower grades, has really improved. I believe in the weekend he was
barnstorming.
He was a mammoth.
And Arva was really... we'll talk more about the Newtown Jets later on, but both Arva and Ueli were a step above.
Right.
Great.
And I believe that too. They can't, at the moment, make the top 17. They might get their shot at any point. Who knows what's going to happen. But that is a really good sign to me. Again, in 2016, we had a full list of guys ready to go. Guys who, you know, Captain America, yep. Couldn't play in the grand final.
Couldn't get a game in the grand final. Sam Tagatese almost missed out.
Yeah.
Kurt Catewell missed out. That quite a quality of player missed out.
So with a couple of signings as well as guys lifting throughout the year, you know, I was a bit worried about our depth at the moment. Like right now, even with some injuries, I think I'm okay with it all for this year.
All right. Now, let's have a brief look at the run ahead.
Yes.
Before we look back and we think a couple of games we could have won there and we should have won that we didn't, but there was a couple that we were written off and we did win. So, you know, 10 wins is not the worst scenario. The irritating thing is if we got one more,
yeah,
we'd be sitting in third or fourth.
That's right.
That's irritating. Right. So, if you look at the road ahead, we've got Penrith. Okay, which is Sunday night, and we'll preview that a bit later.
This Friday.
Sorry, evening. Sunday night. Well, I'm getting my days mixed up.
That's twice night. Today you've thought it's the wrong... It's Friday, Newman, 6
mate,
o'clock.
I'm working full time again. It's a headache.
I can hear the whole audience there just saying, oh, boy,
and then
Newman.
We're Friday, 6 o'clock again against the Raiders, and that's at home.
Okay.
And then we go to Brisbane for a Thursday night game, and that's... we're getting in the end of July.
It's a tough one.
That's a tough one. And then we go to Sunday afternoon against Manly, who are always our bogey team.
At Cronulla?
At Cronulla. Well,
you
that's
know
a
what?
2 o'clock kickoff.
It has to be a must win this year. They're a mess.
Yeah.
Have to win, Newman.
Then another real easy game, Melbourne in Melbourne.
Oh, boy.
4-10.
Remember last time we played them and the war erupted?
That's a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Then we go... back home, North Queensland, Saturday night, 7:30.
Winnable.
Winnable. Then we go Newcastle at home, definitely winnable.
Yep.
And then we go Bulldogs at ANZ Stadium.
Pretty good.
Pretty winnable.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the last game, is it?
Yeah.
So there is
so
some
tough teams.
So
we're playing a couple of quote-unquote dud teams.
There's a couple of points there at the end of the season which you will almost chalk up right now. That gives me a bit of hope too, and it's not all easy and it's not... ridiculously hard. There's a mixture, and the away trips to Brisbane and Melbourne, that'll test us. We love that kind of thing usually.
Yep.
We at least are competitive in those games, so I think the coach would be pretty happy with that draw.
Yeah, and I think that if we can win the balance, moving into the Newcastle Bulldogs brace, if we can win the balance of the upcoming games and then sort of coast into the semis and get a bit of rest into the legs of the older crew, because this is something we want to talk about in the news. I mean, our squad, man, there's some years.
It's only getting older.
I know, and it's only getting older. We're going to, you know where we're going with this.
hold off, Newman.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off to the news. But if we could just coast in, but you don't take anything for granted.
No.
And but finishing on those quote unquote easy games against the two bottom dwellers in Canterbury and Newcastle is not a bad way to end the season. But a couple of tough road trips, a couple of tough games at home. There are no easy games in the NRL. It's a cliche, but it's true.
There's not. Now, I want to talk to you about the coach, as we call him, Coach Flanagan.
Yep.
Start of the year, I was unsure about how I felt him being around long term. Quarter of the way through the year, I thought I was
done.
I have to say, at this point right now, where we are right now, I think I'm back on. And it's not so much the winning. It is the bringing in younger kids slowly. It is the depth of the juniors coming through. I'm talking long term here. And, you know, we might not agree with certain people he's buying or looking at buying and that kind of thing, but the guy actually has a plan. Now, he's not going to tell us what it is. But all the action going on, I
am pestering Rob Willis to get him on the show because I think he's due a chat with us.
He is. It's been a while.
And there are some questions I want to ask him, not so much about what's happening this year. I think he's got us humming along great this year. But in moving forward, there are real questions to be asked.
Yeah, but let's forget about Joshy Morris for the moment, and let's forget about the plethora of players leaving. I'm talking about the junior systems he has set up, the way that four or five of our guys are playing for the young New South Wales team on Wednesday night. We've got a good future. Like, it might not be round one next year.
What do you mean the junior system that he set up?
Well, he's been coach since, what, 2011?
The current junior system which we operate under was set up by Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart hasn't been around for a long time, thank the Lord. You know what I'm saying. Okay, I shouldn't use the word set up. The one he manages.
Yeah, because I know, he manages. I've been in that junior system, and
well,
he coaches.
Well, thank you, Newman, as well.
He coaches first grade, right? And he helps the junior coaches along.
Yeah.
But other than giving the young guys a target to play in first grade and helping kids along where he can, he didn't set the system up.
I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Stop tweeting. Stop adding me on Twitter right now. You can add me, but don't at me. He's at the top of the triangle, right?
Oh, he's the boss.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I really like, at the moment, the way... And, you know, we let some of them go. There's a whole list we let go, but we're going to keep some as well. And I just think
keep,
it's...
You can't keep them all, though.
Like, we're not at that Penrith stage yet, but I think we've come so far. And yes, you're right. Ricky Stewart did set it up, and I remember all that. But I think just the way we're at now, I'm okay with Flano at the moment. That might change. It can always change.
Well, when it comes to Flano, he's not perfect, right? He's not a Wayne Bennett level of coach who's going to bring you five premierships, you know, in a golden era, or a Craig Bellamy type coach. A, because he doesn't have the resources, and B, probably because he's just a little bit, I don't want to be disrespectful, but a little bit more tradesman-like rather than scientist in his approach to coaching. But when you look at what the situation was when he started at Cronulla in 2011, I remember having a beer with him. And he was just like wide-eyed. He was so happy to get the job. And he was on like 150 grand. But the joint was a mess. Mm. It had no money. The squad was diabolical. And he's like, there's no way I can win the comp with this squad. He actually said that. And
he was right.
Yeah. To bring the club, which was on the bare bones of its ass, to be now, you know, a regular top eight finisher.
He's missed one season of full football. In the finals, that's because he wasn't there.
Yep. The regular in the top eight. You know, there's always questions being asked about how we fit these players under a salary cap, which to me is a good sign of a healthy club. We're now out of the headlines, finally, with player scandals. People actually want to, players of high quality actually want to come here and play. Like, do you remember when we couldn't recruit a top name player?
Well, we're getting guys like Nigel Vungana when he was like 45. It's a bit like the Josh Morris thing. Like, everyone's making a huge deal out of it. We've got him for a pretty good price. It's 2 years.
There was a time when we couldn't get a player
but
like
he
that.
Would have been our best guy in 5 years.
100%.
Now he's just another guy joining the club.
And when it comes back to the Flanner thing, you also got to look at who else is on the market. Right? Yeah. What coach could you possibly get to bring in that's going to be a better fit for Cronulla and do a better job?
So Newman, the coach is signed until the end of 2019. So that means any second now, they're going to be renewing. How long do we give him? Is it a standard thing? Is it like another 3 years or...
I want to hear answers about what he's thinking in the future. Like, he's got us humming this year, but the plan moving forward, there's so many vagaries around the roster moving forward. I can't make a decision on that now.
Yeah, I have a huge issue with the way coaches are signed for so long in advance. So, I'm cool with 1 to 2, but...
I was a little bit like you. I was a bit wobbly on him at the start of the year, but again, I've firmed and...
Mm.
You know, I know he's down at North. He's having a few beers on Friday night.
Was he?
He's just a local dude.
Now, man. I say all that, Newman. He signed Josh Dugan until the end of 2021.
Yes, the questions need to be asked.
And you and I wouldn't have done that. We might have signed him, but we wouldn't have signed him for that long. So I'm not saying the guy's perfect either. And I'm not saying I'm convinced in my opinion here. I just think right now, tonight, Flanner and I were cool.
Yeah, there are serious about what he's done up until now has been great, like 9 out of 10. You know, the Asada thing is a major blip as well. But
we can't go back there, can we?
No, we can't go back there. But moving forward, and we're going to talk about the news, I've got real questions about what's happening with the squad.
Yeah, sure.
And you can't always be on top of the pile. So, yeah, the coach. I don't see. Where do you rate him in NRL coaches?
It's a tough one because, as you've just said, you've dropped the A word, and to come back from that and do what he's done and continue, you know, pretty good years since, he's hard to fault. Like, we're going to fault him and our listeners will fault him right now by saying, you're letting Ramian go. You're letting Eddie go. You're letting all these players go.
Yep.
And they're fair complaints.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are pretty annoyed Jesse's going.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't going to sign Woods, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly not Flano's boys. Where do I rate him? He's got to be top five.
Yeah, he's top five. He's a top five coach.
Consistent.
Bellamy's number one.
Bellamy's number one. Bennett will be there just historically. He's there.
Because of his phenomenal record. You know, the South guy's been there for five minutes. He's better than Mary McGregor.
It. Yeah, Mary McGregor.
You know, Paul Green's having a battler of a year, but he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah,
he'll be on that level.
Definitely top five.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we're lucky to have a guy like that who, you know, we're not going to get into the insides of what may or may not have happened, but we went to the depths of hell as he did, and he's risen. Like, no one honestly would have believed.
All right. Well, we've got to get him back on. I've been harassing Rob Willis about getting him back on, but I'd be interested.
How about when you're at Northies, just harass him then?
Well, I missed him. My mate, I was going down to Northies to watch the footy, the Penrith game last week, and he said Flanner's here, so I took him down to Shark Cast Trucker.
Oh.
By the time I got there, old Flanner had gone. He's a madman for like a big session early doors.
Oh,
like
yeah?
5-6 schooners before like 8 o'clock and then go home.
He must get harassed a lot.
He sits with a pretty tight crew.
Yeah.
Right?
They look after him.
Yeah.
But still, there's stragglers coming.
Oh, there's like my mate's a punisher and he was talking to him.
If you put this guy here and that guy there and don't let this guy kick the ball.
You can say that, right? Let's say he signs... Ben Barber comes back and he signs Val on a long-term deal. He's a genius.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He's a genius.
I'd be cool with that. Newman, let's wrap up this mid-year review that wasn't. Just like the Penrith one that didn't happen.
Yep.
Thanks for your insight. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I don't know what insight we added, but maybe the listeners seem to enjoy it. People enjoy what we do. God knows why. Anyway.
That's a really negative attitude to have right now.
Let's cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
He's back. Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container. Road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman is free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
This is an absolute monster of a bomb. Goes Valentine Holmes looking for a hole. Here goes Val. What a try to Val Holmes. And what are they looking at here? Point to the spot.
Hey, what are they looking at?
They called it a try, but we just saw at one end that doesn't mean anything.
What the hell are they looking at? They're trying to ruin my night?
Absolute idiots. What? I can't understand it. Here we go, Samuel. So they're looking. No.
Hey, this guy here?
It's off a kick return, and Matt Moylan is in the line, but he gets a really good play at him. And that is play on.
We've got a problem
here. Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
And the boos rain down on Southern Cross Group Stadium. And
my heart is broken.
We are robbed.
I'm a broken man.
One of the great moments in rugby league history as Valentine Holmes rampages down the field. I don't understand. It wasn't a block play. That is a poor call. He got a good shot at Val there. Absolutely unbelievable.
Boy. Great play from Val.
What can you do, Samuel?
Play on. We'll remember that. Great
We're
play.
We're down to 6 minutes and 35 seconds. The score is 22 points to 4 on the CWE Audio Visual Scoreboard.
Very exciting.
And Samuel, you were shouting into the microphone there. That is such a bad call.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCG. The news, and what a wild week it has been in Sharkland. The mangroves have been tingling with the mud and those little roots that point upwards towards the sky instead of down, because it's been proven and a fact that Josh Morris has been signed by the club on a how long deal?
2-year deal.
2-year deal, which surprised the hell out of a lot of people, and it's got pulses racing.
It was whispered for a long time. We thought it went away. Now, I just have to tell you a little story. My dad, the very famous Rene Shinazi, for whatever reason, big fan of the Morris boys, always has been, always will be. Nice young men, as he says.
Well, he was very nice to my daughter once.
Which one?
T-Bone.
My dad or the Morris boys?
Josh Morris.
Josh, gotcha.
Yeah. Down at Noshi's little supermarket on the corner of Gannon's Road and the Kingsway.
I know it, yeah. So nice guys. I say to my dad, he's been under the weather this week, bit of a flu. Reno, great news. Someone is signing with the Sharks. He said, not Blake Ferguson. I said, no, I'm not razzing you here. Someone you like. And he said, I don't know who. And I said, Josh Morris. And you know what he said? What about his brother? And I said, no. Just Josh.
Now, I've got a legitimate question for you, Sam. Is Josh Morris the good one?
I've been asked this all day, and I still don't know, because it depends what you define as good. He's a good defensive center, but yeah, I don't believe he's the quicker one.
As we watched, BJ Leilua run past him to win the game for
Canberra.
Well,
that was both of them, so it doesn't matter which one you get there.
That was giving me a blinding hell. I was laughing at the Bulldogs and then woke up and the joke was on me.
I didn't mind Lachie Lewis in that game. Now,
give me some stats. Come
on. Josh Morris, 2-year deal. He's played over 250 NRL games.
Wow.
Over 200 for the Bulldogs. He started with the other stupid club we don't talk about. Next year, when he hits the training session, day one, he'll be 32 years old. So up until now, including this year, he's had 11 seasons. And I thought he was a bit injury prone, but I looked into it. He's played 21 or more games or more in 9 of the 11 seasons. So he's okay.
He's good.
He's okay. He's played 14 Origin, 6 tests. So that's the meat and potatoes of young
How many tries
Josh.
Has he scored?
120. 20 for the Dogs, 100. So 100 and 200 games for the Bulldogs, that's what I should say.
So what you're telling me is he is a test player, ex-test player, ex-Origin player, over 100 tries, over 200 games, experience coming out the yin-yang. One-time elite player. He's a Flano signing all over him. He's a Chris Hyington.
I was going to interrupt you. He's a Flano boy.
He's a Chris Hyington. He's a Mitch Brown. He's that kind of signing. Flano sees something.
I think
something
he's better than Mitch Brown.
Yeah, I know, but he's that kind of signing.
Yeah.
You know, he's just experienced.
And Aaron Gray.
And Aaron Woods. He's just Flano uphill and down dale. And you know what?
Yeah.
This time last week, we're doing the podcast, and we're looking here going, who are we going to get to play in the back line? We've got no Ramian.
Josh
no
is straight in.
No Latelli. You know, we lost Edric Lee. We need outside backs. Well, this guy's like up
so you'll,
there.
You'll have a 40,
he's just old.
You'll have a 45-year-old in Josh on one side, and you'll have Bronson Jerry, 18-year-old then on the other side. Ooh.
Well, Sione Katoa's going nowhere, isn't he?
No, he's staying. He's sticking around.
It could be the perfect mix of use of experience. I'm trying to be positive here, Sam. The major downside to Josh Morris, he's old.
He's old. We might be losing two old guys, though, this year. We might be. I think one of them at least. And I'd hate to tell you who I think that one is, Newman.
Yeah, well, just let him get back on the field, all right, before you just go riding a champion off and making me angry.
I'm not riding him off. I heard him during the week interviewed.
Just let him get back on the field before you ride a champion off, all right?
I'm not riding a champion off. You're putting words into my mouth.
You know, we have coffee through the week, don't you?
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. My wife sent me a text. Luke Lewis is in at Mr. Paisley's.
Life's not fair. Now, this is a quote from a publication by our friend Dave Riccio. Cronulla believe Morris, age 31, to be 32, will prove invaluable in the club's promotion and development of several promising outside backs, including Bronson Cherry and your man who you don't think might make it, Isaac Lumi-Lumi.
Lumi-Lumi, eh? What about Sione Katoa? I mean, he's a superstar of the future, Sione. We love him.
Yeah, Sione's sticking around. I text Rob Willis today because we had an inquiry on Twitter. I'm spoiling the letters section right now. The person asked me, when is Katoa resigning? I asked Robbie Willis. He said, hopefully soon, inverted commas. He's coming. Josh, he's coming.
Josh is coming. There's nothing we can do about it. Are you in favor of the signing, Samuel?
I don't know is my answer. I really...
Are you hesitant like I am?
I am, yeah. And it's not really fair because, as we say, players come to our club under our system with our coach and our players and they become a little bit better.
All right, so what's our back line next year? 1, Ben Barber.
Yeah.
2, Sione Katoa.
Yeah.
5, Valentine Holmes. Josh Dugan. Josh Morris.
When Dugan's not playing, we'll have Jerry playing.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
Got to get Ben Barber, though.
We got to get Benny. I got to tell you the
now other signing news while we're on the signing.
Well, the rumors for Benny they're pretty quiet at the moment.
They're quiet, aren't they?
Yeah, they're quiet.
Oh, shite. All right. Other signing news before we go to lower grades. Mm-hmm. Positive news for both of us. Big fan of ours,
Jason Bukvicuja, 2-year extension, and very well deserved. He'll be here till the end of 2020.
Kind of player that every club needs, workmanlike, gets about his business with a minimum of fuss, runs hard, tackles hard. We love him.
Flano has said to us, quote, he's the first guy I pick in the 17 when he's fit.
There you go. A really nice chap too.
Great chap. Favorite band, UB40.
Wow, there you go. I remember doing an interview with him sitting on the bikes. You know the bikes they sit on the sideline,
yeah,
doing the pedals.
Yeah.
Now, so that's, God, hopefully that's it for crazy slap-your-face signings.
I don't know
for
if
the
it
time
is.
Being.
I don't know if it is. You know what? If he was 2 years younger, it wouldn't be crazy.
Well, hang on. Before we go to logos, there's another piece of signing news.
Okay.
Seg.
Well, unofficially, we might be having someone leaving us as well as everyone else in the list, and that is James Seguiaro. Strongly rumoured to be going to the Parramatta Eels next year.
Just as he started to come on for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, but that would be a money slash Blake Brayley thing. That is a choice being made right there, my friend.
Yeah, and also his best mate's Corey Norman, so...
Well, we're not sure if Corey's going to be there next year at the Eels, but that's none of our business.
None of our business.
But I think that is a big tick towards Blake Brayley.
I have heard that that is all bar done deal.
So have I.
Yep. All right. That's the enigma that is Seg. Wow.
One of our listeners, not to mention more, but one of them is going to be very unhappy with that news, and we send our sympathies to him should that come true, and he knows who he is.
Jay Westwood.
He might close down his Facebook group.
All right, now, at the risk of dominating the conversation, I watched the
lower grades
this weekend, and oh boy, I was actually in the coaching box with Coach Dave Howlett. Our commentary position, as we were setting up, we were sharing the space, and I watched them blow a 4-point lead, the Sharks Flegs under-20s, against the ladder-leading Newcastle Knights to lose 24-18. They didn't touch the ball in the last 10 minutes.
If you compared Dave Howlett as a coach in the coaching box during a game to someone else more familiar to us listeners, who would he be?
Craig Bellamy.
Uh-oh.
It was a full-blown tantrum.
Yeah.
He's just screaming into the mic like... Yeah. They didn't have the ball in the last... They barely had the ball, and when they did get it, they made errors, and he's just like screaming into the two-way radio. He's blowing up at the ref, throwing bottles, and I really felt for him. He's such a nice, gentle chap, Dave, and he was going to bust a poof of valve, so I really, really felt bad for him. The thing is, right, then I watched the Newcastle-Newtown game.
Yeah.
And, their coach is Rory Costjation, and he barely raised a sweat when they were getting the cleaners put through him. Like, Dave cares deeply about his team. And
well, you can't say Rory doesn't care.
Didn't look like it.
He just wasn't as emotional.
Nowhere near it. Not even close.
Now, that's three in a row for Dave. Is that right?
He's going to be...
We're not editing this. I ain't got time.
He listens to the show.
I know he does. He's been a guest before. That's okay. He hasn't said anything bad. He cares about his team.
Yeah, I know, but he's going to
And they should be doing better. They should be doing better given the talent they have.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the game up to their eyeballs. And Newcastle are top of the pops. And they threw the game. The boys threw the game away. So he had every right to be frustrated.
So what does this mean for the future? What's happening? What's going on?
They got 7 games to go. Or 6 games to go. They can still finish top 4, but they're losing some players. And let's hopefully they can turn. They've got a tough road. They've got to play the likes of Parramatta and Penrith, who are tough, very tough in that age group. So he desperately needs a couple of wins because they've dropped a few games. But he's a hell of a coach, and I wouldn't be surprised if, there are bigger things afoot for him.
Is he going to be the next Sharks coach?
I hope so.
It'd be good for us.
I know.
Just knock on his door. Hey, buddy, we're doing a pod.
Yeah.
Put down your film and come out here and do a pod. That's what they call... coaching stuff you in film. It's from America. Film.
Okay.
Gonna watch some film.
Well, he's a hell of a guy, and he's a hell of a footy coach. I love just sitting down and having a chat with him because
good guy.
We've got to get him back on.
Absolutely. Now, what happened with our beautiful Newtown Shark Jets?
They had a great win against the lowly Newcastle Knights, who admittedly were pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good day out at a very blustery Henson Park. I called the game, which was a great deal of fun.
How'd you go?
I was great, Sam.
Okay.
No.
I wasn't able to listen, so I'd like to know how you went.
I'm an admitted novice at calling, and I'm getting better with every outing. So, I was pretty good. But it was a convincing 28-10 win. Braden Ueli, Britton Nikora, and Ava Siumafanagai were the complete and utter standouts.
Is Britton Nakora someone who could potentially be on the bench next year, Newman, for the Sharks?
If he played the way he did on the weekend.
Because he's had
absolutely.
He's had a promising future for a while now, and that's good to hear he's kicking
on. He's a real hard hitter, a real hard runner. He scored a great try. Looks sort of Luke Lewis-like, coming back on a short ball, running the angle, and you know, charged into the backfield and scored a try. They were a little bit clunky, the Newtown Jets, because they were missing both Brayley and Flanagan.
They're playing for the Blues on Wednesday.
Yeah, they had Jesse Marschke and the young Garlic boy.
Okay.
Sean Garlic's young bloke.
Okay.
So, you know, they were missing a lot of their spine. And they did it in the canner. They beat Newcastle easily. So they are now in the top four.
Oh, cool.
So it's much better season for Newtown.
Okay.
The other interesting thing was Sasai Fecky was named to play for them but didn't play.
Yes, I received many messages about that asking what was happening, and I said, I don't have a clue.
I'd like to see him out there.
Well, without too many spoilers, he's been named in the 21 this week for the NRL. So he might not be fit in the just naming blokes. That does happen, but it's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, so that was the lower grade results. And what else have we got in the way of news? Anything?
I think that rounds it out, my friend.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck, on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday Fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Ettinghausen Way, Woolaware, and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has dropped into the slot, the letters. You can get us sharkcastpod@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram with a hashtag or the user handle at sharkcastpod. And Sam Shenazzy has a shark tooth-shaped envelope opener in his hand, and he's about to rip through the paper and get things going. Well, what do we got this week, Sam?
All the way from Saudi Arabia with our friend Matt. And he says, I've got a feeling we're going to come out and make a statement against the Panthers this week, but Kickow scares me out on that edge. He's hoping Kurt Capel can keep him quiet. I agree. Kickow's an amazing player. You hate the word Newman. I'm sorry about the word amazing, but he's good. I believe this year's comp is so even, it's there for us to win another premiership.
Agreed.
I agree, Matt. I personally hope Val keeps the fullback position. I agree. And Dugan takes Ricky's spot in the centres. What's your thought on that, Newman?
You know what? I'm a big fan of that. If you're going, I don't mind that.
Jesse's going too.
I know. But you do it when it suits you, though.
There is going to be a problem when they're all fit. Someone's going to miss out. The reason Matt says
Ricky's good,
Ricky
though,
is that Jesse offers more in attack.
Agreed. But
he says, keep up the great pods. Thanks, Matty.
Well, you know, Jesse, his defense is a work in progress.
He's played, what, 11 or 12 games?
Exactly.
It's not many.
You know.
Thank you, Matt, all the way from Saudi Arabia. Next,
right,
we have
one from Michael from Canberra, and he said we need to win 6 of the remaining 8 games for it to be worth it, in my opinion. So he's shooting for a top 2 finish.
Well, he wants top 4.
You have to make it to the top 4, and I believe if we can get it together, but will we get it together? And then on JMO, he says he's old in the tooth. Guess he feels the veteran player role that will be left by Gallen and Lewis. Wow.
Now, he also says, will Cherry of the Bronson variety come into consideration next year, Newman? I think that depends on his off season and how he grows, but he's certainly got some talent.
Yeah, hard to know. So thanks again, Michael. Always, we love seeing your emails drop into the inbox. But I don't think guessing about Cherry coming into consideration, he is in consideration.
Yeah, cool. And he also asked one more question. He said he heard we were signing the Japanese dude from the Broncos, Gehamat Shibaski. And I also have heard the same thing, and he's a pretty good three-quarter. So well, there might be a plan there. We just don't know.
One of the great names.
He's a good player, and that's unconfirmed at this point. Next up, we've got a great, great little piece of information here, Newman. It's from Blake from Hurstville, originally from Caringbah, one of the great suburbs in the world. Hypothetical. You're starting a brand new club from scratch. You know in advance where you're going to finish in the top 8, as well as the style of football you'll play. Would you rather an attacking brand of football that's popular with the fans, or would you rather play a grinded out, very shark-like style of football and finish 5th?
Would you rather play an attacking brand of football and finish 8th, or play our typical grinded out style and finish 4th or 5th? I had a long think about this one, and my answer is you want to finish as high as you can on the table, regardless of playing style. Because if you're finishing 8th, you drop one game, and you could potentially finish 9th and miss out altogether.
I'm not sure how old Blake is, but I'm going to say that from my experience as a Sharks fan, I've seen many great seasons of many great teams playing brilliant attacking football. 89, we just scraped in on a 5th place playoff. Some of the best football you ever saw. 99, 01. And we were, you know, top 4 in
those.
We were
an attacking side.
But when it came to the grind,
terrible.
There was an issue. So we find the grind under a fella called Flanagan, because Stuart couldn't do it regularly. I really don't like him.
I thought you meant Stuart Flanagan.
He was just a nondescript hooker, wasn't he?
Yes.
Newman, you're in a mood tonight. We win the comp on the grind, and it's the greatest day of my life.
That's the best feeling. To win the comp.
So all those boring wins under Flano. Thank you, Flano. Thank you, Gal, for the hit-ups. Blake, I'm taking the boring team.
Yeah, me too. Great email, though.
Fantastic.
Great email. Now, are we going to get into this email from Adam?
We are.
Okay, you run us through it, Sam.
So Adam has sent us an awesome, amazing, as Newman would like to say, concept. And it's all about bringing more games to the NRL without adding length to the season. He wants to basically, to summarize, have a bottom tier competition playoff series going along with the top. So teams 1-8 play in the proper final series, but the rest of them play in a knockout runners up kind of tournament.
They do it in the Beer Cup. They do it in junior footy.
Yep. And there's positives for the broadcasters, for the NRL, for the sponsors, for the club, for the coach, the players, for the fans. So for example, this year Cowboys aren't going to make it. JT wins the runners up cup. Gets a photo in the paper. Beauty. I quite like it. I don't know if it's going to fly. And I sort of think I'd rather see something like a midweek cup where you might have 5 regular first graders and then reserve graders, and you fight it out for some sort of midweek non-important cup. But I really like the concept, Adam, and I think you should send that around to lots of people, because it's got a lot of merit to it. You've got a lot of detail.
They do something similar in the English Super League.
They
have something called the Super Eights.
They do.
Where the comp, after the end of the regular season, the comp then gets divided up. The top 8 plays the semis. The bottom 4, because there's only 12 in that comp, then play against the top 4 of reserve grade. And it becomes an interesting promotion relegation battle.
Mm.
And I think that without the element of promotion and relegation, teams just aren't going to take that comp seriously. There's no, it's very much like the Nines. There's no prestige around winning it. No one's going to tune in terms of big numbers other than diehards. The players whinge enough about playing too much football as it is.
Hang on, I think you're getting a little bit negative, Andy. I think to a degree people will tune in, but obviously the problem is everyone's buzzing for the main finals.
Exactly. The games that actually mean something. And I like the idea of a midweek cup,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
you could have like some country representative teams.
It's almost like the FA Cup, yeah, or the FFA Cup in
and
Australia.
And the NRL sides, they'd have to be, to keep it competitive, you'd have to have, you know, you can only have five players.
Yes.
You'd have to have, say, 12 players in your squad of 20. So you make, yep, it a 20 team, a 20 player squad for a, yep, midweek cup. 12 players have to be eligible for under 20s or whatever.
Yeah, I think that'd be brilliant.
That'd be a lot of fun. I also have another idea for the makeup of the NRL. Do you want to hear it or is it too boring?
It's not boring. I'm enjoying my garlic bread and my beer. I'm happy.
It's controversial. You ready?
Oh boy. Are you going to offend anyone?
No. I need to remember exactly how it goes.
All right.
My idea is that the NRL takes control of two home fixtures for every club.
Okay.
Right? And allocates these as neutral rounds.
Neutral rounds,
play 12 home games.
Yep.
Right?
They get two.
We dial that back and get 10.
Yep.
And two go back to the NRL.
Yep.
Now, there's pain there, but bear with me. Right? Then...
But what about my season ticket?
That's right. The NRL pays incentives with their multi-billions of dollars for the West Tigers to move to Perth, for St. George to move to Wollongong, holus bolus, and for Manly to move to Gosford. Okay? And then you bring in two expansion teams. So you bring in Brisbane 2 as a derby. And then the rest of them can fight it out. Oh, sorry, Perth.
You lost me on the losing the two NRL, the two game home games.
Whoa. Okay, so you've got Perth, and you bring in two other expansion sides, Brisbane 2 or New Zealand 2 or Adelaide, and you make a truly ANZ competition. Then, to soften the blow for the West Tigers, for example.
Sure.
Their two neutral rounds from the NRL get handed straight back to them at Leichhardt. So the NRL dictate that they play two games at Leichhardt, okay? And then two other games from, let's say, for example, the Sharks get allocated to Leichhardt. So they play four games at Leichhardt or Campbelltown a year, despite being based out of West.
Same for that mob at Cogra, Manly at Brookvale.
So Manly get four games at Brookvale. The Dragons get four games at Brookvale, and then the rest of those neutral games get allocated to the Bush.
I think the only issue people will have there is the West Tigers going all the way to Perth, whereas
you incentivize it for them. You don't force them to go. You turn around and say, we've got $1 billion here. We're going to give you an operating budget. You get a whole city. There are nothing but benefits.
Do you remember when we were the guys moving all the time?
Yeah, I know.
Life's not fair, Newman.
No, I do feel sorry for, but that's my idea.
I congratulate you for having an idea.
And then, like, the rest of those neutral rounds. So if you're not handing games back to the three relocated teams, right? You're playing Penrith, for example, play those in Bathurst because they've already got a relationship there. Parramatta have got a relationship with Darwin or Alice Springs or whatever, and then the Bush doesn't feel isolated at all. And that way the NRL is proactive in bringing, you've got a full national, you ease the squeeze in Sydney, you've got a full national profile, you've got more TV product.
There is expansion coming, so it's a good idea.
That was my idea. Write in, let us know what you think of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how well I explained it in the 2 seconds that I have. I haven't thought about it for a while.
You'd be right. Our listeners are kind. We have some tweets. Now, Dean has written a couple about the breaking news about Josh Morris. And he says,
here we go.
As a Sharks fan, very unhappy, he is done. And then he backs it up with, to think we've lost Ramin and Bird last season, Lutelli and Beal, and replaced them with Aaron Gray and Josh Morris. And he's got a emoticon of a monkey with his hands over his eyes.
Aaron Gray hasn't been that bad for Newtown since coming back from injury. He's looked quite good.
Yeah, but we go for the Sharks.
Aaron Gray.
Yeah, we go for the Sharks, not for Newtown.
Yeah, but he could. I reckon he'd be all right if he played. He's had one go.
Do you remember that half of football?
I've seen Bowell plays halves like that.
Yeah, but I haven't seen Gray do the other stuff.
All right.
Now, what else have we got here, Newman? We've got some more tweets.
Yeah.
We have our friend Michael. And he said, would have preferred his brother first, i.e. Brett. Mm-hmm. But Flano has a good record with recruits. Let's hope this is a wise buy. And he's got an emoticon of praying hands. There's one from Clinton, our friend Clinton. He's got a great book out.
Yep.
You should all go buy it. It's all about Sharks winning the comp.
He says, very happy to see Josh Morris has signed with the Cronulla Sharks. I've always been a big fan of both brothers. Great player, great guys, and one of the best. They're from one of the best parts of the world, Kiama. They are. I love Kiama.
Yeah. Good blowhole there, I hear.
There is a good blowhole. And that is it for the letters for the week. So plenty rolling in. There's obviously been plenty happening, but make sure you keep them rolling in. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Two more pieces of news that I forgot. And devastation across the nation.
Uh-oh.
We are out. OUT of trucker hats. The sold out sign has gone up. House full sign has gone up. If you didn't get one, you missed out.
Well, that's, again, a very full stop attitude there. Is there any way we can get some more done this year, or are we waiting for
next
year?
There's a minimum order quantity of 100.
100, eh?
So
if we get enough demand, maybe.
We'd have to get enough demand.
What's the second bit of news?
Paul Gallen was on Australian Ninja Warrior last night.
You know who would have loved that?
Who?
Our friend Rob Willis.
He would have loved that.
He loves Ninja Warrior.
Does he?
You were next to me on Sharkcast TV when he had a Robbie's rant, and he was talking about Ninja Warrior, and you and I were going, what the hell's a Ninja Warrior? And memory, they made him watch the finale for like 3 hours. And
there was no winner.
There was no winner.
Gal actually did pretty good, because you're looking at everyone and they don't look like, you know, middle third players in the NRL.
I've never watched the show, and then I recorded it and watched it back on fast forward pretty much when he came on. You might be too young for this, Newman, but I had
It's a Knockout.
Memories of It's a Knockout, yeah. But
it's 100%. Like, It's a Knockout for grown-ups.
I thought Gal would be allowed more of an opportunity to keep going around, but once he was done, he was done.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. He got flattened by that moving.
But it's worth pointing out that for those who didn't see it, he made it to the third obstacle.
The thing where at the start we were jumping from rock to rock, that's pretty hard to do.
It's all hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's so hard to do that everyone up and there'd only been one, so there'd probably been five or six people that went. None of them made it past. Only one of them made it past the second obstacle.
Okay.
And Gal made it past the second obstacle.
It's important to note that this was done pre-season.
Was it?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Because it had been coming a long time.
He got
in the press
axed by that thing, though, didn't he?
Oh,
the blade.
As he said, it was one of the toughest hits ever. He's a tough guy. I thought he might have been a bit more bruised.
Yeah. Anyway. That was interesting. So, that wraps us up. We're going to cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have a preview of the game against the Panthers. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. That's a try for certain. Yes, he's given the try. And so it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had a watch them closely, they could have went out and shook hands.
Welcome back to the show. Now, before we rip into the preview of the Panthers game, Sam, you had some homework from a previous week about our boy Chad Townsend.
Yeah, I did. And I broke it on Twitter and you didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Well, so
I broke it the next day for you.
Okay, we'll run
what
through.
What have you been doing for 2 weeks?
Not everyone's on. I don't use Twitter too much.
Have you got a job now or something?
I'm an Instagram guy.
Instagram guy. You're all about the art.
I'm all about the art. I'm way too shallow for Twitter. Instagram suits me much better. Now, so I asked you to tell me how many 40-20s Chad Townsend had kicked, and the answer was
2 career 40-20s. Both for the New Zealand Warriors, as they like to call them.
So how many career games has he played?
I don't have that in front of me. It's over 100.
Over 100. Hasn't kicked one 40-20 for the Sharks. And you said he's kicked something like...
I think he's forced about between 9 and 11 dropouts.
And you put footage up of him forcing one from about 25 to 30 metres out.
And chasing it down, because you said he hadn't done that. So that was a dig at you. And then you didn't understand the dig, and it got worse and worse and worse.
I understand.
People thought we were fighting.
I understood the dig, because I asked if he'd done it from outside the halfway. And you said, nobody does that.
No one really does it,
no.
To be fair.
So you want me to be impressed that he's forced a dropout?
No, no, you don't get the joke. on the episode, you said he hadn't done one all year, and I said he did one 3 days ago, and then we fought about it like little girls and boys.
He's played 16 games this year. For 9 dropouts.
It's top 5, top 8 in the NRL. It's the most for the Sharks.
Try assists, 7.
Yeah. Matt Moylan is second in the NRL with 14, I think.
So Moylan's got double the amount of try assists. That's more try assists than I expected. Still disappointing on the 40-20 front. Come on, Chad. Get better. Run the ball.
Do you know what the top amount of 40-20s this year is by an individual?
1.
2.
Yeah.
He's not that far behind.
What? Career-wise?
No, this year.
One. We'd be so happy if he did one. Todd Carney, he could kick a 40-20.
Of course he could.
Yeah.
He'd get him nice and early, too.
All right, we've got a game this weekend against the Penrith Panthers, who sit above us on the ladder. 6 o'clock kickoff at Pepper Stadium out there with the Bogans and the Yokels. So, Samuel, what have you got for us in way of a team?
A very interesting Cronulla team for you. The Penrith one is actually more interesting. We might get to that if we can bring that up. Maybe you can bring that up on your phone or something while I do the Cronulla Sharks. The Mighties. We have, at fullback, Valentine the Future Holmes. We have Sione Katoa and Edric Lee on the wings. Ramin and Litelli in the centres. Moylan returning home for the first time. And Townsend in the halves. Fifita, Brayley of the Jaden variety. Matt Pryor, the front row. Capewell starts in the second row with Wade Graham and Paul Gallen, so Luke Lewis is still out. The immediate interchange bench is Captain America, James Seguiaro, Aaron Woods, and Boogs Bekuya. Extended bench is Scott Sorensen, Big Arva, Fecky, and Kyle Flanagan. So
I don't have the team. Sorry, what? Who's out? Wade Graham.
No, Luke Lewis is out.
He's
and
definitely
Josh Dugan.
Out.
He's out, not named.
Oh, man, I was hoping to be back.
No. He'll be out for a few weeks, I think.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing. What's interesting is we won't read out the Penrith team because I wasn't able to bring it up because my NRL app needs to be updated.
Well, why don't you keep talking and I'll bring it up because it's very interesting.
Well, they're talking about resting the likes of Maloney and Cleary.
So, on his podcast, because everyone's got to have a podcast now, Gus Gould said last week that they would not be playing Maloney and Cleary, and he thought that depending on what Peachy did in the Origin team, he would maybe be rested as well. Now, what they've done is, so their fullback, Dallin DWZ, whatever his name is, he's out. There's a guy on debut called Caleb Aikens, who's actually a decent younger player. He's on debut, the sixth player to debut for the Panthers this year. Christian Crichton on one wing, Tyrone Phillips on the other. They're nothing that flash. Wacker Blake is in the centres. He's decent. Dean Vare, veteran. He's in the centres. The halves, Tyrone May and the very excellent Jerome Luau, who we all saw just go bonkers.
Yeah.
Trent Merrin.
It'll be different when he comes up against the Sharks.
Oh, will it now? Trent Merrin, James Tamau, and a guy called Sione Katoa is playing hooker. Katoa versus Katoa.
Is this the first? There's one a bit of homework.
I don't
you.
Think
Has
it,
it
is.
Ever happened before.
Yeah, not to this extent, but I think it's happened before.
Okay,
I will try and look into it. A very, very good back row. Kakao, Yao, and James Fisher-Harris against Gallon. That's going to be a great, great matchup. Wade Egan, a young hooker on the bench. Corey Hawira-Nira, who the Sharks were interested in last year. He's decent. Jack Hetherington, a firebrand. And Moses Leota, who I don't know much about. Extended bench, yada, 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 yada. The three guys, Peachy, Maloney, and Cleary. So they're not ruled out yet. It is less than 48 hours after Origin these teams are playing.
Yeah.
Less.
Yeah. Hard to say what's going to happen there. I mean,
my question to you, Newman, I got you to think about during the week. Do you want to play the team that I just struggled naming and they're very ad-lib, very young?
Yes.
Okay.
Our system should be better than theirs.
How do you stop that halfback, though, when he's jinking and jiving?
Well, you run traffic at him to tire him out, for starters. Yeah. It'd be good if Luke Lewis was there, because you remember what he did to Kalen Ponga, and Kalen Ponga was supposed to jink and step and jive and wail.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it should be said the Warriors were terrible.
Yeah, and they were. That, you know, the Warriors don't run that. We'll run heaps of traffic at him, tire him out. Hopefully Wade Graham will get up. Well, he's at two, isn't he?
Wade, he's there. Yeah, no, he's playing.
All right,
yeah.
So they're gonna, you know, hopefully he'll get up and whack him. And
I looked at the Maloney Cleary stats this year, and Cleary's really solid, but Maloney is the go-to, as we know.
Oh, he's the driver.
All the assists and everything are through him.
But
so
I don't believe that. I reckon one of them will play.
I won't believe it till I see it.
Yep.
But that has been spoken about for a couple of weeks now. So,
all right. So what are you predicting will happen? I think we're going to come good, Sam, and I think we're going to win by 12 points.
By 12?
Yep.
Very much have us winning. I think it'll be closer to 4 to 8 points. I've got a few facts for you. We're going for our 600th win in what will be our 1-2-3-8th match. And this is a good one you like. The next try we score against Penrith will be our 300th try. It's the most we've scored against any club. You like that?
That's great. 300 tries.
You're not impressed by that?
That's a random stat.
It's the most we've scored against any club in our history.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
we're playing them this week. It's the three, you know.
Well, yeah. You're a stats man, mate. Yeah. Nerdlinger.
Now, we've won our past 4 and 9 of our past 11 against Penrith.
Mm-hmm.
We won the past 2 and 4 of the past 5 at Penrith. We played early this year. You'll remember it. We won 26-22. It wasn't that close until the 75th minute when they scored 2 tries. Panthers this year, they've won 7 of 8 at home. 3 of the past 4 have been decided by 10 or more. We've gone through the Origin players. That's the facts. I would like to see us winning by what you say. I think it could be a bit closer given that Penrith are a pretty handy team.
Yeah, they're playing with a lot of belief at the moment too. Like,
yeah. I'll tell you what we have to worry about, and that is their line speed. It's through Maloney, and even when he's not playing, they still have it.
Yep.
Their line speed is, I would say, the best in the NRL right now. We had it a few years ago. We don't have it at the moment. We're not too bad, but that's what we've got to be careful of. I think you'll see your boy Wados. Both edges doing a lot of kicking. They'll shift, kick, rather than Chatty just doing the old charge down kicks because of the pressure. So I think that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for our mid-year review.
Well done, Sam. Well done to you.
I'm impressed, and we'll be back here next week ready to put the tape around the head, pull the socks up, and put the mouth guard in and charge up into the teeth of the fence. And as we say every week,
go the Sharks.